For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God did not send his Son into the world to save the church. God did not send his Son into the world to save a particular race or a group of people. God sent his Son into the world for the whole world. Not just the people that are sat in here this morning, not just the people that we love. The whole world. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this before. But the passage that Peggy read, I once heard somebody say, try putting your name in there. Try putting your name in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. Try putting your name in there, okay? So just think for a moment. I'll do it. Rich is patient. Yeah, you're starting to laugh now already. I don't know if that's because you've thought of your own name in there or if you thought of me in there. Rich is kind. Rich does not envy. Rich does not boast. It gets harder as the passage goes on, and I think that is not me. However, if I put somebody else's name in there, if I pick, think of somebody that you love and that loves you. It could be your mum, it could be your wife or your husband, it could be your dad, it could be your children, whoever you like. Okay? And put their name in there. Now try it. Peggy is patient. See, Peggy's saying she's not. How many of you, when I say, let's do, shall I embarrass Peggy now? If I read, Peggy is patient, Peggy is kind. She does not envy, she does not boast. She is not proud, she is not rude, she is not self-seeking. Peggy is not easily angered. Peggy keeps no record of wrongs. Peggy does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Peggy always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Peggy never fails. Peggy's shaking her head. Kind of fits though, doesn't it? And we could do it. We could do it for each of us here. I mean, some people it might be harder than others. If you've got a brother here, for example, or a sister. I find that harder to read for my brother, I'll admit. I find it very easy to read for my wife. Amy is patient. Amy is kind. And she sits there getting a bit uncomfortable. Because we don't like to hear those things about ourselves. So if I said, let's say, all the nice things that we think about Wendy, she'd sit there going... There's a bit of me that likes it, but oh, I feel uncomfortable. Because we don't do that in England. We like to have a moan, don't we? I feel much more comfortable if someone says, oh, Rich, what are you... Oh, that sermon went on a bit. I can cope with that. If you say, you know, Rich, that sermon that you preached is really wonderful. I'm kind of going, okay, I have a lot to say to you now. I can do the criticism, I can't do the praise. What's that about? But if you take this passage in the Bible, it says God is love. Says God is love. And if you read this passage and you say God is patient, God is kind, God does not envy, God does not boast, God is not proud, God is not rude, God is not self-seeking, God does not get easily angered, God keeps no record of wrongs, God does not delight in evil, but God rejoices with the truth, God always protects, God always trusts, God always hopes, God always perseveres, God never fails. Oh, wonderful description of God. And I don't know about you, perhaps you've heard things about the Bible, you've read some stuff, and there's some stuff that happens in the Bible that doesn't sound so great, and you think, really? When you start to understand that God is love, and God loves you, then you read the Bible through that kind of vision, through those eyes, where the things that are being done by God are done in love, it transforms them. And there'll be some people here today and go, yeah, it's fine. God loved the world and God's all those things, but not me. I'm not quite good enough. And you think you must have to do something. You could come to God once you've sorted some stuff out, once you've stopped doing some things, or when you start doing some other things. Then maybe God will accept you. Some people get really busy doing stuff. We don't have to do anything to earn God's love. Ava hasn't got to do anything to be loved by her parents. I know that Hannah and V are just bowled over with love, but she hasn't got to do anything. In fact, she could do stuff, and it just makes you kind of go, wow. Some of us love her too, because she's quite adorable. But, you know, there might be times where we don't feel quite the same love. Because, you know, she's going to get older, and she'll be like my kids, and make a bit more noise at the back, and it'll be harder, and all the rest of it. That's going to happen. And then she'll go through the teenage years. Yeah, and there's a few of you going, but God loves you. God loves the world, and that includes you more perfectly than parents love their children. And you might think, but God can't love me because I'm too young. Oh, God can't love me because I'm too old. God can't love me because I can't sit quietly for a service. God can't love me because I don't know how to play properly. And God can't love me because I've got a disability. God can't love me because other people don't like me. God can't love me because I've been abused. God can't love me because I've been taken advantage of. God surely can't love me because I'm in an abusive relationship. God can't love me because I don't have children. Can't love me because I have too many children. God can't love me because I've never been able to have kids and I always wanted to. God can't love me because I've been divorced. God can't love me because I've never been married. God can't love me. God can't love me. God says, I love you. God says, I love you. And he doesn't just do it through words. You know, in that way that you sometimes see where someone says, I love you, it'd be really helpful, perhaps, if they showed you that they loved you by maybe, you know, washing up occasionally. Sorry, love. It might be really helpful if they showed you that they loved you by actually spending some time with you rather than going, yeah, no, I'm busy working, I'm doing this stuff. Yeah, no, I love you. But I'll see you later. God doesn't do that. God doesn't just say, I love you. God says, I love you so much that I will lay down my life for you. And it gets confusing because we talk about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they are God. They are one in three parts somehow. And so when Jesus dies upon a cross, the Father doesn't turn his face away like the popular song says. Wow, you've got an answer alone. The Father does not turn his face away. It does not say that anywhere in the Bible. That's a nice song. The Father is one with Jesus. And Jesus cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because in that moment he's fully God and fully man. And he feels forsaken. But he has not been forsaken. You want to come preach? I don't think you've all met Ava yet. Ava's lovely. She's very beautiful, isn't she? And you see, God says, let the little children. In fact, he says, come to me as a child. And when a child comes, there's something ever so trusting. There's something ever so trusting. At some point, Ava may question her parents. I hope you do. They'll make some decisions that just won't be right. You'll make some decisions too. Yeah. But at the moment, whenever Ava is afraid or worried or needs something, whatever it is, she calls over to her mum or her dad, and she knows that her mum and dad will care for her and love her and keep her safe.
And I've heard it said, as people have asked, say, I see dirty streets, I see a weak old man, I see a dying child trying to stretch out their hand. And where is this God? And people say, see men in uniforms standing in line, see bodies broken, and I see families crying, and where is this God? He never seems to get there in time. And I say, he's in those dirty streets, and he's with the weak old man, he's with a dying child, he's trying to stretch out his hand, and he takes that hand. And he's with those men in their uniforms, he's with those that are standing in lines, he sits with those that are struggling. And he's not never there on time, he's there the whole time. And sometimes we just don't see it. And Easter is wonderful because it's all about going, you know what? We tried to kill God. We tried to kill Jesus. He was nailed to a cross, and yes, it was a particular group of people on a particular given day, in a particular country at time of year. But it's us. It's the jealousy and the hurt and the pain and the things that we do that put Jesus on that cross. Because Jesus chooses to walk in our world. And sometimes we try and reject him. And he says, I love you so much that it will not work. And I will overcome. And whatever you try and do to push me away, I will love you right back. And so on Easter Sunday we celebrate. Because God loves us. God loves you. God loves you, and 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 everyone here. For God so loved, patiently and kindly, without ever envying or boasting, God loves you. And so we can celebrate.